Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Lord, we thank you for another Sunday morning. Lord, as the people of this nation are marching and rioting in the streets, Lord God, as you're calling your great leaders home, oh Lord, never has there been a time in history where we have to step up to the plate, where we have to understand the wisdom of God like never before, Lord. So I pray today, Lord God, as we learn of the lesson of praying the wisdom of God, Lord God, that we would take it in, that we would digest it, and we would understand the relevance and the importance of tapping into your wisdom like never before. God, your word says it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, you have said, Lord. So I pray that we would tap into your spirit and tap into your wisdom and do what we need to do to be the children of the living God. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you guys, this is going to be a great lesson. If you didn't get a handout, there's extra handouts for the lesson today on the wisdom of God. We're still in that lesson. And there's also an extra handout on that says complaining at the top. So I said, I'm going to hit you between the eyes. Good morning. Yes. As Benny Hinn wrote, good morning, Holy Spirit. Here I am again. So we're going to go right into the lesson, praying this name. Well, actually, we need to finish up living this name because we didn't quite finish living this name. And we were talking about last week, we talked about how the earth testifies of the wisdom of God and how the earth is testifying everywhere around you. As we look, we see the wisdom of God. And we have to learn that we need to recognize. I've started on this one. So unless, yeah, I'm good. So it's important that we recognize, if we would just recognize just how we see the wisdom of God in so many things, we would learn to appreciate his wisdom. I was saying that every plant, every flower, let me just turn this down a bit. I have that going. Every plant, every flower, the heavens, the stars, all of it testifies of the wisdom of God. You know, so much we take for granted that we see every day. Even the functioning of our own bodies, it is the wisdom of God that just keeps it functioning. I was just so amazed when I was in medical school. I was amazed at how the body operates and how it functions. And I'm like, how can we deny that the wisdom of God has not been involved in everything? And we can tap into that wisdom, that same wisdom that puts your own bodies together, that puts system upon system upon system to keep you alive and keep you breathing. That same system of wisdom we can tap into if we would just do it. And so this, as we go into praying this name, we're going to talk about this, but let's just finish up with the living this name. The next point we came to, and this was near the end of the living this name, we were going to talk about another aspect. The point says another aspect of the wisdom of the creative power of God is that God knows how to bring things which presently do not exist into being. And that's from our book. Such as an unlikely relationships and forgiveness of debts and even crimes. At the foundation of many relationships is the wisdom of Christ. And the comment I made is some marriages are really made in heaven. Marriages are made in heaven. I believe that. I know that's a saying that people say, but it is. Relationships are made in heaven. There are sometimes people that God has brought into your life. Out of his wisdom, he brought people into your life that you probably didn't think you needed in your life. You know, and if we could tap into the wisdom of God, we would not be so quick to reject people that have come into our lives that need to be there. You know, and conversely, there are people that do not need to be in our lives. And God has spoken to you over and over that this person is toxic to you and you need to let them go. And often we don't want to let certain people go because we want to hold on to them. Our emotions are kind of attached to them. But the wisdom of God is speaking, you need to let them go and let me take over. So many times I've heard people say this over and over again, that God has said to them, I'm trying to minister to them, but you keep getting in the way. I'm trying to Bring them to me, but you keep getting in the way. I told you, you need to let them go and let me take over. Again, this, we're talking about the wisdom of God, living the wisdom of God. I've had to let go of some relationships. And sometimes I didn't see, God, I didn't think they were so bad. But the Lord said, let it go. Let it go. And it was down the road that I saw, oh, Lord, that's why you did not want that. And sometimes it wasn't even about my protection. It was about me protecting the people around me. It was about protecting my children. And I'm thinking, oh, but they're my friend. And but God, tapping. I'm telling you, folks, we've got to start living this thing. We have to stop being reactive people that react on our emotions. Every time something happens, we react. We don't tap into the wisdom of God. We react. And we've got to stop doing that and really tap into the wisdom of God. So I encourage you, pray over your relationships. Sometimes there are people that you need in your life. I've seen that I needed them down the road. I didn't think I did, but down the road, I'm like, you know what, Lord, I thought I was there for them. And it turns out they were there for me when I needed them. There, they were there. So we want to understand relationships. You know, and anytime we try to step out of the wisdom of God, as it was in the Garden of Eden, we die. Check it out. You know, we talked about the creation. We talked about all the laws of the earth, the law of gravity. You know, all the laws that are in place. If you defy the law of gravity within the wisdom of God, you will die. In many cases, you will die. And that is the same thing of any laws of wise laws that came out of God's wisdom that we defy. We will die if we do not ask God to be a part of that. The next point says, on a more personal note, consider his orchestration in your life. Consider the divine appointments you have experienced through the years. People you met by accident who bless your life, blessings that came your way with no planning from you. All of these things are orchestrated by the wisdom of God. There are no coincidences in God, only wisdom. Do you understand that? There are no coincidences. We say, oh, it's not a coincidence. I ran into Patty twice today. It's not a coincidence. Pay attention. Pay attention. When people keep coming up, when things keep coming up, pay attention. As the song says, God is trying to tell you something. God is trying to tell you something. But if you would just pay attention, sometimes we're so busy. We're so got our agenda going and we got our schedule going. I'm telling you, I implore you. If you want to live a life of wisdom, please pay attention. There are no coincidences in God. Whether we, let's see, my page is 159. We're on the very last part of living this name.
Second dot from the top.
Second dot from the bottom, from the bottom. Okay, sorry about that. I'm jumping in from where we left off last week. So second dot from the bottom on living this name, it says, whether we acknowledge it or not, his wisdom is at work every moment, saving us, keeping us, and protecting us from the temporal and eternal dangers of life on earth. Do you understand this? It's not just the temporal dangers that he's protecting you from. He protects us from eternal dangers. You know, some people will mess you up. Some people will assault you so in your soul so deeply, you will reject God. That's so God protects you eternally. And that's why he implores you. You know, listen to him when he tells you certain people don't belong in your life. Listen to him because he's protecting you many times eternally, not just temporally. And then the final point under living this name says, as you live this name, the wisdom of God, practice acknowledging him and thanking him for his wisdom working in your day. This acknowledging and thanking will cultivate your relationship with him and bring it into a more intimate or a more internal level. Remember, we commented, you don't want to get to heaven someday and Jesus is a stranger. You want Jesus to be someone that you've had internal dialogue with. You know what I mean? You've been talking. He knows you. You know him. You're talking about yourself and your life. He's pouring wisdom into you. And as you walk into it, you're seeing it. And you're like, oh, Lord, I thank you. Because had I done that, Lord, I thank you that this person interrupted me before I could say, thank you, Lord. So you want to learn how to thank him, how to see the wisdom in that he's conveying in your life and thank him for it. Have dialogue with him about it. You will hear his voice clearer in your spirit. You will know his voice better, just like you know the voices of people you know intimately. Don't you know? I've heard mothers say that they can stand on a playground, and if they heard their child scream, they know it's their child. Out of all these children screaming, they know when their child screams because they know that child intimately. They know their child. I mean, boy, wouldn't it be beautiful to know the voice of the Lord like that? To know him so intimately because I'm spending time with him. You know, I'm spending time in his word. So when the enemy is speaking something to me that is not in his word, I said, oh, no, I don't even receive that. People will come to you and say stuff that's not in the word of God. I said, oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't receive that. You know, or say, you know, God has said to me to tell you. And I'm like, you know what? I've been in prayer. And, you know, when people give me a word about something that God said, it's usually a confirmation because he's already told me, you know, and usually it's a confirmation. You know, people shouldn't have to come and tell you what God said. God said that you should move, you should sell your house and move over to, Bolivia. You know, and God has not spoken a word to you about it. And then you're going to pack up what God said through Sister Jones that I should move to Bolivia. So there you go off to Bolivia. Because you haven't cultivated the wisdom of God in your life. You have to cultivate that wisdom so you can hear him for yourself. And if God is speaking to you about Bolivia, oh, Bolivia keeps coming up in my mind. Lord, what do you want to say to me about Bolivia? And in your prayer time, God is saying, you know, you need to move over to Bolivia. I got something for you to do in Bolivia. And then someone comes along and says, you know, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but God told me to speak to you and tell you that Bolivia, I just keep hearing Bolivia about you. You know, and you'll know, oh, my goodness. That's the way that works. So many people have gotten messed up in the church because they have not cultivated a relationship of wisdom with God. So they're living all kind of nonsense and taking all kind of great leaps outside of the wisdom of God because, you know, they don't know his voice. You know, if you work on it, because there was a time when I said the same thing. I'm like, how do I know if God is talking? I mean, how many of us have said that? How do I know if that's God or if that's just me? You know, I'm telling you, keep cultivating that relationship. Keep praising and worshiping and thanking him, you know, and then pay attention as you'll see him do things in your life. And after a while, you'll be able to know his still small voice within you. And as I said, it always lines up with the word of God. The scripture says, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And that's from John 10, verses 5 and verses 27. He says, you know my voice. How can Jesus say that? Because if you get an intimate relationship, you'll know his voice. You know when he is speaking, and you'll know when he's not speaking. So so that is the end of living this name, and we're going to move right into praying this name because they go hand in hand. That in order to live this name, you've got to be praying this name, the wisdom of God. And our key scripture on this segment is from Isaiah 9:6. And it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And our first point on this is you probably discovered by now that the many names and titles of Christ in Scripture appear similar and seem interchangeable. All the names we've gone through over the past 2.5 years, you know, some of them, they seem similar and interchangeable. Christ, for example, is our Wonderful Counselor, providing daily insight. He is our great light, giving daily guidance, and the wisdom of God, ever enlightening us in his word. And this is from our book. And this overlap, but all these different aspects of God just speaks of how amazing he is. You know, he is your everything. You know, I can't say that about any human being, but I can say that about God. He is my everything. He does this and he does that. And, you know, there's no question I can take to him that he can't answer. I don't care how sophisticated or complicated you may think that answer is. I don't care how much education you think that you need in order to answer a question. I'm telling you, God knows it. God knows it, and he will give you insight into just anything that's going on planet Earth. God can give you insight on it and wisdom on it. So our first point under praying this name says, as we are praying his name, the wisdom of God, we have access to the vastness of who he is. To pray for his wisdom will not only save your life, but it will enhance it beyond anything you can imagine. You know, now, of course, we've heard this, you know, but I wonder how many of us believe it. Do you want your life enhanced? You know, do you want to live beyond the level of mediocrity? As Swindoll talked about years ago, you know, you want to live beyond the level of mediocrity. God, to have an enhanced life is the norm for children of God. Do you understand? It's the norm. You know, I mean, with humans, you know, like we got our few geniuses and we got our few gifted people and we, you know, we look to them and think they're so special. But the norm for a child of God, the norm is to be gifted, and the norm is to be enhanced, to have these things happening into your life that are amazing. The wisdom of God is the enhancer of life. It makes you stand out in a crowd. People will seek your thoughts and opinions on issues because you pray for the wisdom of God. You don't have to announce it. You don't have to say anything. People will seek you out because they see you living the wisdom of God. They see and hear what comes out of your mouth, and they know it's wisdom. They don't even know where it came from. So many things, you know, you are speaking because it's in the Word of God. So many things I've said. I've said it at meetings, you know. I didn't quote the scripture, and I didn't quote the book in the scripture, but it's in the Bible. We do this because, you know, we're going to do it this way. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. You know, just things that, and people will seek you out. You know, if you're gonna step up to the plate, folks, I'm telling you, as I said, the nation, people are in the streets marching, rioting. People are dying and going to heaven, and I'm telling you, it's time for the children of God, the next generation. We gotta step up. We gotta step up and do what the Lord has called us to do. And you cannot do it outside of the wisdom of God. The next point says, when we pray his name, the wisdom of God, all things become possible.
Amen.
Do you hear what I'm saying? All things become possible. In him, we can see the way, the enlightenment, as he makes it happen. Hope becomes a reality and faith is fulfilled when you step into the wisdom of God. When you live and pray within the wisdom of God, he can bring the impossible to pass in your life. Because see, when you are wise, God can trust you with the impossible. Do you understand? God will not bless a fool. He's not. You know? He won't. He's a wise God. Why would I give a fool millions of dollars? He would squander it. What is the old saying? A fool and his money are quickly separated. Step into the wisdom of God and watch God do the impossible in your life. Can he trust you with the impossible is the question.
And Karen, also this possibility of praying for the Lord, I really sense to feel that the Lord will give us a crown.
He will give us so much. A crown, yes, that will happen when we see him, you know, and he judges our lives. And that's a good point to bring up, because what are you going to say to him? His wisdom was there. His wisdom was available in you. Again, what is our scripture? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Again, that scripture is to believers. You neglect the great The great, the scriptures call it, salvation. And this great salvation, a part of this great salvation, is the wisdom of God. The next point says, when we pray his name, the wisdom of God, we live in a realm of peace as we expect him to move in our circumstances. We pray to accept his way of doing things, knowing it will work together for our good. And all of this is word. You know, all this is word. We pray not to complain as his wisdom is performed in our lives. We pray not complain as his wisdom is performed in our lives. To complain, do you know, and to complain is unwise, guys. Let me tell you, that is a lack of wisdom. It's foolish to complain. And I know that is so hard for us. You know, I was doing this, you know, I was putting this together. And then I had to drive to Colorado Springs yesterday, and I was amazed at the stuff that so quickly rolled off my tongue as I was driving to Colorado Springs, and people were cutting in front of me, and all this stuff was, I was like, Lord, and I kept saying, Lord, forgive me, there it goes again. Oh my God, there I go again. Oh Father, forgive me. What is he doing? What is he thinking? Oh my God, why is he doing? I'm like, Lord Jesus, can I just pray for the poor person? Can I, Lord, just help him. Jesus, bless him. Because to complain is unwise. And I'll tell you, if you want to cut off the impossible things that God can do in your life, if you want to cut off the blessings that God can do in your life, start, keep grumbling and keep complaining. You know, that's why I actually was Googling complaining in the Bible. That's how I got to this page. 14 pages of scripture. I only gave you guys the first page so you can look it up yourself. But 14 pages of scripture on complaining versus blessing. It was amazing. And I just starred a few of them, like Numbers 11, verses 1 through 4. And it says, and the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Thank you, Jesus. It was the outlying parts. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of the place is called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. I'm telling you, complaining angers God. This, he has not changed. Complaining angers God. And these were his people. As I said, I don't think you're exempt because you've accepted Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. Complaining makes God angry because his wisdom is everywhere. His blessing is everywhere. He's given you all these things that you don't even tap into, and then you have the audacity to complain, and it angers him. I'll tell you, I encourage you. I encourage you, and I'm glad that, you see, the scripture specifically says the fire was on the outlying parts of the camp. Thank you, Jesus. You know, because he could have brought that fire down in the middle of the camp and consumed all of them. But in his mercy, Rita, in his mercy, you know, and sometimes God will do that to you. He won't come and just destroy you completely. He'll just singe you a little bit around the edges. You know, you might lose something, you know, like God will come and singe you and give you a warning. You know, you don't trust me? You want to keep grumbling and complaining? You know, so it goes on and on. And in contrast, in Deuteronomy 28, the same group of people, Deuteronomy 28, reading at verse 1, it says, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Blessings, 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 if you are careful to do what he has called you to do. This is Deuteronomy 28, beginning at the first verse. And then let me just read Isaiah 59. Verses 1 and 2, and it says, behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened, that he cannot save, nor his or his ear dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. So I'm telling you guys, you don't want to anger God. If you want to be a wise person, I'm telling you, watch what comes off your tongue. Watch what you're saying. God is hearing, he's listening, he's watching you. You know, so you want to be careful that all you are speaking, I don't care what the situation is, you praise God. You want to praise God. God does not reward grumbling. He does not reward complaining. He rewards praise and faith, and it doesn't matter what's going on, folks. I dare you. I dare you to praise God even in the hard days when you have had a great loss. I dare you to praise God. You know, I'm praying especially for New Birth in Atlanta today as they go into praise and worship. You know, I found out later, you know, as you guys know, Bishop Eddie Long passed away last Sunday. And Bishop Eddie Long of New Birth Church in Atlanta, church of 25,000 people. And they said when he passed away, his family was surrounded and they were having praise and worship as he transitioned. And they told me, you know, my sister's on the praise and worship team at that church. And I was told that she was told ahead of time, the praise team was told ahead of time what had happened. The congregation was coming because they didn't hear yet because he passed away at 3:00 in the morning, Sunday morning. The congregation was coming to church, you know, not knowing that their pastor had gone, transitioned on, you know, and they told the praise and worship team. And then they told the praise and worship team, you have to go out there and you have to do praise and worship. And then after praise and worship, we're going to make the announcement. You know, and that's what they did. You know, they went out and they did praise and worship and they worshiped God, you know, knowing what the announcement that was going to come. And I just like, oh my God, I said, what a testimony that they would have the strength to do that. But they did it because we carry on. We carry on in the name of Jesus Christ. We carry on. I had to, you know, I know I've told you, you guys know about my book, Sessions in Pain. And there's a chapter in this book on pain and worship, you know, and it talks about that very thing. And some of this stuff is out of my own experiences of having to worship God in pain, because he told me to. I dare you to worship me. I know that didn't work out the way you wanted. I know the situation you're in, but will you worship me is what he brought to my heart. Will you worship me? You know, and so many times we think we have a license not to worship, to sit down on God because we've had losses and because we've had pain in our lives, because we've had all these things happen. But I'm telling you, it isn't. It isn't a license for you to sit down on God. In fact, it's an opportunity. It's such an opportunity. I dare you to praise God in your pain and watch him just swoop in and bless. I'm telling you, I think some of the sweetest praise that can ever come forth is when you're praising in pain. I believe it's a sweet, sweet sound in God's ear, because he said, I know my child's heart is broken right now. I know it's broken, but I'm listening and she's praising me. She's praising me. Wouldn't that move the heart of any father? It moves the heart of God. So I'm telling you, I'm, as I said, we stop the complaining, stop the grumbling, and praise his name. Praise his name. I think our book had said, he who praises most swings best. Oh boy, I love that one. He's talking about swinging at the devil. He who praises most swings best at the enemy. So praise the Lord. So you're in doing so, you're swinging at the enemy, because the devil's looking at you too. Oh, I know what's happening in her life, so I'm just going to watch and see what she's going to do. He's watching. But how amazing is it to start praising? I just had a flash of the little cartoon, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And remember that morning? The Grinch had stole all their presents and all their gifts. And then the little Who's from Whoville came out there and just took hold of each other's hand and start singing a song. I like to think it was a praise. Just started singing that praise, and the Grinch was listening. It came without presents. It came without bags. It came without this. It came without that. Folks, praise him. Worship him. More is to come. I'm telling you, more is coming. But rise up in wisdom. Praise is wise. Praise is wisdom. Grumbling is unwise. So praise the Lord. The scripture says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And he is just that. You will get the victory. I'm telling you, if you stop complaining and you start praising, you will see your life change dramatically. And I know what I'm talking about. Your life will change. The scriptures declare, our next point on here says, the scriptures declare, for the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest part of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. So when we ask for the wisdom of God, folks, we have to pray for exposure.
I call that God's holy cat scan.
God's holy cat scan, Rita said. We have to actually, do you understand what I'm saying? You have to ask God, if you're praying for the wisdom of God, you need to ask God to expose you. Expose the things that are going on in the little recesses of your heart. Some of those things that we want to hold on to, that we don't want, no one else can see it, but God sees it. But the word of God, it says it goes into the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging. This is the word of God, the very thoughts and the intentions of our heart. He wants to deliver us so we can be wise. So you can't be wise when you're all caught up with unforgiveness. You're going to make all kind of bad decisions. When you're caught up in unforgiveness, when you're caught up in hatred, and when you're caught up in anger, how can you make a good decision in anger? So you need to expose yourself. Expose your junk to God. Your mess to God and his word. So he can give you pour wisdom into that thing. Pour wisdom into it. I can't do anything more because you will not let go of your unforgiveness. So the word of God comes to expose us. Sometimes we're doing things and we don't even know why we do it. The word of God knows. God knows. He says, because you won't expose that part of you to me so I can deal with it. I can see it. I know all about it. But you need to expose it to me so that you can operate in wisdom in your life and not be so reactive. The scripture says, the Lord invites you in the scriptures, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. And some of us, our sins are red, man. Our sins are red. Lord, you don't know what I did. You don't know the ugliness that I got. Jesus, if you just knew, Jesus knows. He's just waiting on you to expose it to him so he can deal with it. You don't know what I did. You know, I've talked to moms that have dealt with just being too harsh on their children. You know, I'm not just beyond just being disciplined, just being harsh. And now they've come to know Jesus and they grow and they said, you know, those things, I look back and my heart is so broken on how I treated my children. I'm like, expose it to Jesus. Give it to him. Don't carry that. Expose it. Red like crimson, he said. And I will make it like wool. So I'm telling you, I told you we're going to hit you between the eyes, man. Tell me, expose your stuff. Don't hold on to that stuff. That's wisdom. Let's it go. Wisdom. Because I can't go forward and I shy back from ministering certain things because of what I did, because of my past. I can't. How can you operate in his wisdom? And how can you speak a word into somebody's life when you're holding back? And even if someone brings it up in your face, you know I say, show me the scars. Just show me the scars. Here, you bringing this up. Let me see. Let me see the scars where you died for me. I just need to see it. And if you can't show me the scars, then it's covered. I've been redeemed. Yes, I did do that. Yes, that did happen to me. Oh, yes, that was me. But man, can I tell you about this? What God's done for me? That's wisdom, folks. That's wisdom. Don't let anything inhibit you speaking the wisdom of God out into the world. Because the enemy does want you to be ashamed of things and ashamed of your past. And ashamed of what happened. Well, I've been through this and I've been through that and I told y'all my story, you know. I was a pastor's wife, went through a divorce. I came slinking into Praise Assembly, up in the rafters, trying to hide. I'm like, Lord, I just want to be in your house, but I'm just not worthy to sit where the real saints sit. Let me sit up in the rafters where the damaged people sit. Yeah, closer to God. But again, yeah, that was my mindset. That's what the enemy was telling me. I need to go sit up there where the damaged people sit. You don't need to be close to the altar and close to the pulpit. You don't need to be, don't you go close to the pulpit, contaminating the pulpit. The devil will tell you all kind of stuff to keep you from doing what he's called you to do. What you've been through is a testimony. He doesn't want you to tell that Jesus can bring you out of that stuff. He doesn't want... No, don't you give them that wisdom. You keep it to yourself. So I'm telling you guys, step up. You got to step up. Children of the living God, you got to step up. Don't let anything hold you back. Face your accusers. Face them. Because Jesus already took care of it. Yeah. And, you know, and I think also, you know, I just had a thought about how ex-cons, they get out of prison and how they get out of prison and how they come, you know, kind of slinking back into the neighborhood, you know, and people are looking at them all kind of funny. Oh, yeah, he's out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at, nobody trusts them, can barely get a job. Jesus is not like that, folks. He will take you to the highest height. He doesn't hold it over your head. He said, listen, that's why I died. I'm not holding anything over your head. And don't you let anybody else hold anything over your head. Go forward in God. This is the wisdom. We're talking about praying the wisdom of God. Expose your stuff. It's just you and Jesus. It's not going to be on the front page of the chieftain. Just you and Jesus. Expose it so he can deliver you. And in this deliverance, you'll find the wisdom of God rising up in you so that you can pour into somebody else that's going through the same stuff. And you can pour into them and love on them. You know, I tell you, I love better now. I love better. I remember I had gone through my divorce and a friend of mine had also gone through a divorce and she called me up one day and she goes, you know, Dr. Karen, she goes, we're one of those people. And we laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, we sure are. But I was happy. I was happy to be one of those people. I was like, Lord, thank you that you made me one of those people. Because now I'm off my old high horse now. Because you made me one of those people. So I can love those people now. I can minister to those people. You know, so... So I'm telling you, embrace the destiny God has for you. I wanted to keep this video up, just all these pictures of people praying. You know, this is wisdom. As we're talking about praying this word, these are pictures of wise people. Wisdom, taking it to Jesus. From childhood all the way up to your elder years. Families praying together. This is wisdom. Tapping into the wisdom of God, it is key. Pray with your children. Pray in your family. Pray into your household. Invite the wisdom of God to come in. Seek his face like never before. Our next point says his enlightenment or wisdom comes particularly in his word. You must read it. You must read it and then pray it. The prayers that are God's words drip with his wisdom, and he is faithful to hear them and fulfill them. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are praying God's word, God is going to hear it. You want an effective, as we said, this is the wise and effective prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, as we know, availeth much. You want to pray effectively and fervently? I dare you to pray God's word. Get in his word and see what it says. And since the word of God is quick and powerful, it is also fervent, passionate, hot, and glowing. Prayers that avail much, as described in James 5 and 16. I'm telling you, pray his word over you. That scripture I just used, Lord, I'm coming to you, Lord God. I've done some things. Lord, I've messed up today, but your word has said, come to me. That if I'm burdened and if I'm heavy laden, Lord, and you will give me rest. Father, that I could take your yoke upon me, Lord God. Father, you said that if my sin is like crimson, that you would make him as wool. So, Lord, I'm bringing it to you. Father, you told me to come and reason with you. Talk about this. So, Lord, I'm coming. I'm talking about this. That's praying God's word. Seeing what he says about you. Forget what everybody else says. See what he says about you. And coming to him. And watch, that's an effective and a fervent prayer that the scripture says will avail much. You want the circumstances of your life to change? I dare you. And start praying his word. That's wisdom. And watch your life change. Watch your family change. Pray it over your household and your family. And watch them change. The next point says, and our capacity. And I just made a quote about, we talked about Beth Moore's book, Praying God's Word. It's a good one to really start your practice of praying his word. The next point said, in our capacity to apply the word effectively will be equal to our willingness to wait long enough in the word for the Holy Spirit to come and enlighten our minds in its promises. And that's from our book. To pray his name, the wisdom of God, you must take the time not only to read his word, but to meditate on it. Speak it over and over again in your mind and pray it over your life as you ask the Holy Spirit for enlightenment on it. Read it in different versions and look up key words in the scripture. You don't have to read a big passage. Now, you know, I'm not knocking reading the Bible through in a year. I'm not knocking that at all. But sometimes God will give you just one scripture to just meditate on. Just to meditate. Just stay with that. And then sometimes God will just jump a word out in the scripture to me. Look that one up. Look up fervent. See what fervent means. Because you need to understand what fervent means. And I just meditate on that word fervent. Lord, what is that? Why did the writers put that in there? Why is that in your word? And just meditate upon it. And then wait on him to speak it to you. As I said last week, you know, sometimes we're just yakety, yakety, yakety in prayer. And there's nothing wrong with making your requests. I mean, the Bible tells you to make your requests upon the Lord. But there is a part of prayer where you just kind of sit back and listen and see what he speaks into your spirit. Listen for that still, small voice. It's amazing. I remember the prophet, he was looking for God, and God was not in the whirlwind, and God was not in this, and God was not in that, and then God came in a still, small voice. There's something about that. God wants us to pay attention, because when we're quiet, we're paying attention. As I said, some of us, God can't speak to us until we fall asleep, because we're talking all day long, you know? So he can't even say anything to us until we fall asleep. And he's got to enter our dreams and give us a word. But boy, wouldn't it be wonderful just to be able to sit in his word and just listen. Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, what do you want to speak to my heart? And I'm telling you, as you practice this, God will tell you things in an instant. He'll tell you things that you need to know. He told me about the cable for this thing today. He told me about the cable because I forgot that I had left it at work, and I had to swing by there, and he said, "Don't, you need to go by and get," and I know he spoke that to me because I was trying to get my stuff together, and he said, "You don't have the cable, you need to go swing by and get the cable." And I'm like, after a while you just kind of know his voice, and he'll help you with things like that. Just things that, oh Lord, had I forgotten that. In a meeting, he'll bring a point up that changes the whole course of the meeting. Speak to my heart. Lord, I'm waiting before you. I'm waiting. I want to hear what you have to say. Wisdom takes time and effort. Wisdom takes time and effort. You're not just going to be, boom, there you are, you're wise. No, it takes time and effort. Sometimes God has just told me just to watch someone. Watch that. Watch what, you know, don't say a word, just watch. And then later on, he'll speak to me about it. Sometimes it's what to do, and sometimes it's what not to do. God has shown me something. Don't do that, okay? I don't know if y'all ever had that experience with God, like don't do what Mary did over there, okay? I'm just using that as an example. Okay, I'm not talking about our. So again, wisdom takes being quiet, listening, watching, taking time, and just paying attention. And God will pour such treasures into you that you wouldn't believe. And then, as I said, as people see that, they'll start coming to you because there's something about you. And this is the norm. This should be the norm for the people of God. The next point says, Christ taught us to ask and keep on asking. It will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. And that's from Matthew 7:7. Meditating and praying his word brings your asking, seeking, and knocking into the wisdom and will of God. His Holy Spirit is faithful to guide you, and your Christ is faithful to teach you if you would but take the time to seek his wisdom. He's right there. You ever just fell on your face in something you thought you knew and you rushed in? What is the saying? Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. I've been one of those rushing in. Fell right on my face because I did not seek. I did not ask. I did not knock. So if this wisdom that we're talking about, the wisdom of God, is to be true in your life, folks, it's going to take, you know what I'm going to say, humility, humility, humility. You have to lay down your skill set. You have to lay down your education. You have to lay down even some of your experiences so you can hear the voice of God. Because so many times he'll tell you to do something the very opposite of what you want to do. Because your emotions are here. The Holy Spirit is over here doing this. So it takes a humbling of yourself. I got to humble myself. God says, go to that one. But I don't want to go to that one. Man. You know, I didn't want her to be a part of it. I didn't want him to be a part of this. I wanted to do this by myself. And God is like, if you don't, it will never happen. I have a God do that. I'm like, okay, I got to go to this person. because God said so, and the wisdom of God. And what I saw in this was the wisdom of God, because God loved that person. Yes, they may have been unbelievers, and they may have not been or strong believers, but God wanted to make them a part. So therefore, he taps into his child. Would you humble yourself and walk in my wisdom and go to that person and invite them to be a part of this thing that you want to do all by yourself?
Hallelujah.
That you want to do in your prideful spirit. Would you humble yourself and go and bring that one in? I know they're arrogant. I know they'll come in all, but I want their heart. And if you would just do this, I have a segue into their heart. The wisdom of God. Remember what the word says? It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You're a part of that. But if you're not operating in this wisdom, so many would not make it in because we're too proud to humble ourselves and do it God's way, to include that one that you don't want to include. This is the wisdom of God, folks. We're talking about praying this name. And yes, had to go into prayer. Lord, humble me. Humble me, Lord God, because I feel myself. I feel my emotions. And he'll do it. Because to carry out the work of the Lord on the earth, it's not going to be by might, it's not going to be by power, it's going to be by his Holy Spirit and his Holy Spirit working in you to do what you're supposed to do so that this world is changed. The next comment, we're going to try and finish this up today. Wise words have power. Let me say that again. Wise words have power. Consider the work of a good negotiator to prevent crimes and suicides. Wise words can change minds. And there are no other words that are full of more wisdom and power than the word of God. When you speak the word of God into your spirit, you have wisdom and you have power. Do you understand this? When you get that word down in your spirit and you start speaking it, because it'll start coming out of you. At work, it'll start coming out of you. Wherever you go, it'll just start coming out of you, and you're speaking wisdom and power. Power to change the minds of people. Someone that was going to do this thing now will do this thing because a child of God came and spoke wisdom. The word of God with the power behind it. You know, I read a lot of things and I read a lot of quotes and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, a lot of things that people say don't have power behind it. It just sounds good. You know, you ever listen to some of these songs and, you know, it's got a nice melody and it's got a nice beat and everybody's dancing to it. And then you listen to the words and you're like, what does that mean? It doesn't even make any sense. I'm still trying to figure out Benny and the Jets. I don't know if y'all remember that song. You know, I'm like, what are they talking about? But the word of God is different. It has power behind it. It's not just words. It's got power behind it. And it's got wisdom behind it. When you operate in the wisdom, you will find that people will listen to you and respond to you and what you have said. It will make the difference in their decisions, and the world will change because you spoke the word of God and its wisdom and its power into the world. And this is what it means to live the wisdom of God and to pray the wisdom of God. So many things we take for granted that we're doing, you know, because you probably have done that and didn't realize, you know, people said, you know, after I talked to you, I decided to praise God. It didn't take a prayer meeting necessarily. It just took you speaking wisdom into someone's life. The next point said the word of God invites you to ask for his wisdom. The scripture says, if any of you lack wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. And that's from James 1:5. The scripture says that if any of you lacks wisdom, the reality is that all of us lack wisdom. The scripture says if, but the truth is we all lack wisdom. Therefore, all of us should be asking God for it in prayer. And I love this part of the scripture that says, and God who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame. And again, when you come to God for wisdom, God is not going to rebuke you and blame you. And he's not going to say, well, why didn't you ask me last week before you did all of that? God doesn't do that. God, you know, people will do that, but God will do that. I told you not to do that, and then you did it anyways. Now you're coming to me wanting me to get you out of this mess. That's what humans do. But God, I love that about this scripture, without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. God is just glad that you finally came. God is just glad. So again, we have to shift our mind from humans and how humans behave, because God is different than that. He saw you fumbling around, and finally you came to him. Okay, you know, so Lord, this is where I am right now. So I should have gotten the car fixed, but I didn't get the car fixed. So now I got this issue, I got that. And God is like, okay, this is what you, take it here, take it there. Or, yes, you're bringing it to me. And he'll send someone in your life that'll help you. He's a good, good father, folks. He's a good, good father. I love it. Yes. He's a good, good father. And I'm loved by him. That song by Chris Tomlin. Yes, I love it. And I'm loved by him. I love that second part. And I'm loved by him. And it took me a while to really embrace that second part, that I'm loved by him. I don't know if you guys struggle with that. Like, why would God even take the time? But he is a good, good father, and I'm loved by him, and I sing it. I sing it in my house all by myself. I just sing that song, you know, because he doesn't blame you. He's not going to throw stuff up in your face. He's just glad that you finally came and asked for his wisdom. And then our final point says, praying his name, the wisdom of God, produces proactive praying more than reactive praying, folks. So yes, there's going to be times when you messed it up, and then you're coming to God, and he will bless you after you've made a mess. But boy, after you learn, after you go through some experiences with him, you'll be more into proactive praying. Praying as you see the storm coming, man, you'll start praying rather than reactive praying, praying in the middle of the mess. The wisdom of God will lead you to pray before the trouble or the disaster hits. Within his wisdom, you will see and have understanding what is about to unfold by the hand of the enemy and or humans. You know, Lord, cast it down in the planning room. Relationships can be mended before they are severely broken. Disasters can be averted before they occur, and money can be spent wisely or saved before it's lost to foolish endeavors. Hallelujah. If we would just tap into the wisdom of God. Are you seeing all this? Relationships, so many things could be averted if we just came to God and prayed. Therefore, practice proactive praying before Satan and his imps can act against you, your family, and your friends. And herein is wisdom. Herein is wisdom. You know, planning. Seeing so many things we plan for, you know, how many here have car insurance? Everybody got car insurance. Why? Just in case. I'm planning just in case. Yeah, it's a law too. And why is it a law? Because just in case we prepare, man. We do our laundry because we're not wearing all those clothes today, but we do our laundry because I'm planning for the week. But what about prayer? Why aren't you planning for the week? How many major meetings you got coming up? Or major events? What do you got coming up this week? Have you even uttered a word to God about it? Or are you just, I got my skills, I got my degree, I got this. I'm telling you, you better watch out because Satan's got a plan going. You got a target on your back, child of God. Pray. It's, oh really? Prayer for wisdom. I'm telling you, I haven't even talked to Pastor Steve, you know, but yeah, we all, it's just God. Praying for wisdom, that we're on the section. I'm telling you again, as I said, when that happens, pay attention. Pay attention because God is trying to tell us something. Pay attention. You guys, I'm telling you, you guys seen the news. You seen what's going on. I mean, that was, people, they were planning this. This was being planned, you know. You know, I was like, Lord, I'm just covering everything in prayer. And I got to, you know, when big events come up in the nation, inaugurations, be praying. Because this was in the planning stage. This was going on before, for weeks, you know. So the same thing in your life, in your personal life, things you're going through, meetings, be praying, folks. Be praying. Because that adversary of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking the ones that are not praying. Seeking the ones who are not operating in wisdom. Who he may devour. Because you're not prayed up. Any comments, folks? Any comments from anybody?
It was just, I don't know if it was a coincidence or God. I remember last week I said how Rachel's doing that study, the greatest state, and I made that comment about, about the complaining, and you came back with all these scriptures.
Yeah. Well, good, yes. In fact, if you have access, see, I only gave you guys page one. There's 14 pages to that. Okay, so I just gave you page one. You'll see the website at the bottom. You can go to that website, that Open Bible website, and you can get all 14 pages for your study. Anybody else with any comments?
You know, Sister Karen, I think after we're studying all this and wisdom and all the, I think what I really feel in my heart that the Lord just wants us to be straight up with him. Just be, lay yourself out there and let him know where you're coming from, what you've been going through, how you feel. And then let him know in your word, Lord, you said greater is that greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. Father, I need you to show me how to use this word to be able to know how to handle what I am
yes.
going to handle.
Yes.
And I think that's one thing, even when we're praying, we have to use his word so he could, and then stay quiet. And then
yes.
stay quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask, and then you will hear the Lord. This morning, I'll be transparent. This morning, every morning, Clarence and I have coffee or whatever. But this morning, he wanted to not argue. You know, it's Sunday morning. I picked it up quick. My antennas went up. And they were so small of an item, I just thought, oh Lord, oh boy, you're just wasting your time. But go in prayer about it. But it's, notice, ladies, Sunday mornings are sometimes your roughest mornings to get here with the thoughts of our mind even sometimes. The enemy comes in, he hates for us to be here. So notice it, keep it up. Keep your antennas up for Sunday morning.
Wow.
Sunday morning is one morning that we better know that he's coming at us one way or the other to keep us away from here.
Yeah.
Don't let him do it.
Yeah.
Because God knows that we are filled with his spirit and he will immediately tell us, just shut up and go on.
Yeah. And you're right. Sunday morning's a biggie. You know, we're the enemy. As I said, we got to understand we got an enemy, you know, and he'll come.
I'm not
Yeah. You know, and I know you're not saying that, Virginia, but you know, he can, you know, the enemy can whisper anything into any of our ears, you know, but if we're not on our guard, we'll speak it. As I said, those complaints came rolling off my tongue as I was driving to Colorado Springs yesterday, and I was like, Jesus, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I should have been praying. And then 5 minutes later, something else came off my tongue. You know? So any one of us, you know? So what she is saying is be on our guard. Because as I started to pay attention, because I just felt the Holy Spirit said, pay attention to everything that you're saying today. Mm-hmm. And as I started to pay attention, I'm like, oh my God, Lord, I didn't realize how much I say that is not edifying. You know? So I'm like, okay, so yes, we got to set that guard. And Holy Spirit, put a guard over my tongue. Help me to realize what I'm saying and what I shouldn't say. Mm-hmm. And all these different things, because the enemy is busy. And
sometimes I'll have a tendency to like to write prayers regarding our classes or something somebody said. And today I wrote, Father God and Holy Spirit, keep me in line with you and your ways. Your word is wisdom and power. And then I'll continue on with my name.
Amen. 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 As I said, if the take-home message today, guys, is expose yourself. That's the take-home message. Expose yourself before the Lord and let him pour wisdom into situations, things that you keep hiding and hidden. Expose it to him. Lord, I have an issue with this. Lord, I have an issue with this person. I have an issue with this thing. You know, expose it so that he can pour the wisdom of himself into that situation and deliver you from that thing. You know, so it's not being held over your head in any way. Let's pray.
One of the things we have to do is let him know, I need deliverance from this, Lord. I am really getting out of whack over here. I need, and
yes.
Express it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're asking for deliverance from God, he knows you're serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he will help you.
Yes.
Because we are, it's a progress. It's
yes.
We're perfect and delivered
mm-hmm.
from everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a progress.
Yes. Absolutely. It is. And I'm glad you said that. It is a process of deliverance. So don't think you're going to be perfect in a day. As I said yesterday, I prayed that the Holy Spirit put a guard over my tongue. But how the Holy Spirit started that is that I'm going to make you pay attention. You're paying attention to what you're saying. And I was like, oh my goodness. But that's where it had to start. Because you have to realize where you're messing up. You got to realize what you're doing before you can, you know, really target it, you know. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. For we thank you for the wisdom of God in the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, you said you made him wisdom, you know, and because you made him wisdom and he lives within us, then we have the wisdom of God within us. Lord, I pray that we would tap into that wisdom, that we wouldn't be those that neglect the great salvation that the blood of Jesus Christ bought for us, Lord God. Father, but that we would grow in it, Lord God. I pray for your people this year, this 2017. Lord, I pray that your people would rise up in the wisdom of God this year. Oh, God, that we would not be reactive, that we won't get emotional and act in our emotions by what we see on the news and by what we hear, Lord God, but that we would operate in your wisdom. Father, that we would love, Lord God, in the midst of the situation, Lord God, that we would operate in the fruit of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray, as we have always prayed, that we would decrease and you would increase, Lord God, more than ever, Lord. While we thank you and we seal this lesson, we seal this word by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus, the wisdom of God's name, we pray. Amen.